Hello, welcome to Alt.80s, the 80s music program with a bit of an alternative spin. I'm Brett Van Heekeren. Thank you for your company this evening. Well, this week's program is titled With or Without You. Does that ring a bell? Well, look, last month, Irish supergroup U2 opened a 25-show residency at the extraordinary new Las Vegas venue, The Sphere, which has to be seen to be believed. It's an 18,000-seat venue, and its exterior is completely covered in LED screens that turn it different colours. They flash up QR codes and occasionally transform it into a giant emoji face leering over the Las Vegas Strip. Well, the interior of the concert hall is completely covered in LED screens too, and they stretch out far above the band, over the audience's heads, and provide a sequence of genuinely astonishing visual effects. If you go to the Alt.80s Facebook page, I've linked to an article which talks about that particular venue, but also something else about the U2 residency. The extraordinary nature of this astonishing venue, I think, is somewhat overshadowed by the fact that one of the element of the band's grandiose venture is actually missing, and that's Larry Mullins Jr., the band's drummer. And here's a little known fact: the band's originator is recuperating from decades of slogging the U2 drum kit at countless venues around the world. But did his absence from the shows so far actually make a difference? Well, apparently stand-in drummer Bram Vandenberg has not missed a beat, and audiences are loving him. Well, that's got me thinking, actually. How much impact have departed members of bands or new additions to a lineup made on their sound? So as a result, this week's Alt.80s, we take a listen to bands that did change their creative trajectory with or without the presence of key members. That's the sound of the Models, track called Two People Per Square Kilometre. They were out of Melbourne, formed in the late 70s, 1978, the mainstay being Sean Kelly, whose voice you heard on that particular track, and would have been playing guitars as well. And they released their first album in 1980 called Alpha Bravo Charlie Delta Echo Foxtrot Golf, which was a very experimental approach to pop music, if you will. And those first two albums by the Models did have hints of pop there, but that experimental approach to pop music was still very evident across their first two albums. Then in 1982, a guy called James Freud came along, and he became the frontman for the band and provided them with a more commercially friendly sound, and the hits began to roll out.
I'm coming on home. I take you where I want you, where I want you. out all night. I needed a bite. I thought I'd put a record on. I reached for the one with the ultra-modern label and wondered where the light had gone. It had a futuristic cover lifted straight from Buck Rogers. The record was so black, it had to be a con. The auto-changer switched as I filled my sandwich and futuristic sounds wobbled off and on. Face. It's the one without a face. It's the hit that doesn't fit. You can only see the flip. The black interspace sucking in the human race. How can it stay at the top when it's swallowed all the sharks? Left you by. It got to number one, then into minus figures, though nobody could understand why. The black interspace, it's the one without a face. It's the hit that doesn't fit. You can only see the flip. Interspace, sucking in the human race. How can it stay at the top when it's swallowed all the sharks? I couldn't stand this bland sound anymore, so I walked toward my deck to turn it off. All I could see was the B-side of the disc, which had assumed a donut shape with a label on the outside rim. I reached for the arm, which was less than 1 micron long, but weighed more than Saturn, and time stood still. I knew I had to escape, but every time I tried to flee, the record was in front of me. It's a space, it's James Burke. On the case, it's a thing that's never gone. Time stops when you put it.
That's the sound of the Human League from the Travelogue album and Black Hit of Space, formed in Sheffield in the late 70s, late 77, 70, 78. Initially an electronically experimental outfit and later attained widespread commercial success with their third album, Dare, in 1981. And that occurred after a bit of a restructure of their lineup. The original lineup featured Phil Oakey, the main vocalist, Martin Ware, and Ian Craig Marsh. And it was really the other two that were responsible for the more experimental approach to songwriting and music making. The relationship between the fellow originators, that's Oakey and Ware, had always been pretty turbulent, and the pair often quarrelled over creative matters. And the departure of Martin Ware and Ian Craig Marsh in 1981 opened the door for Phil Oakey to go full-on synth-pop.
Time is needed. Decisions to
the conversation turned, until the sun went down, and many fantasies were learned. On that day,
keep feeling fascination, passion burning, love so strong. Keep feeling fascination, looking, learning, moving on. Well, the truth may need some rearranging.
Stories to be told.
I'm plain to see the facts are changing.
Conversation turned until the sun went down, and many fantasies were learned. Conversation turned until the sun went down, and many fantasies were learned. On that day,
keep feeling fascination, passion burning, love so strong. Keep feeling fascination, looking, learning, moving on. Keep feeling fascination, passion burning, love so strong. Keep feeling fascination, looking, learning, moving on. Keep feeling fascination, passion burning.
That's the sound of Ultravox from their very influential album Systems of Romance from 1978 and Slow Motion. Ultravox came together as a band in the mid-70s, and until 1979 their frontman was a guy called John Fox. And if you're a regular listener to Alt.80s, you'll probably have heard a lot of John Fox, I should imagine. He was the main driving force behind Ultravox in those early days. But Fox left the band in 1979 to embark on a solo career, which opened the door for a Scotsman, Midge Ure, who officially took over as the lead singer, guitarist and frontman in 1979 into 1980. And between 1980 and 1986, they scored 7 top 10 albums, 17 top 40 singles in the UK, including this one. This is called The Thin Wall. This is Alt.80s, the 80s music program with a bit of an alternative spin on 2MCFM. This is Alt.80s, the 80s music program with a bit of an alternative spin, dragging a few from the late 70s, just to, prove a point tonight on the program. And it's titled With or Without You, and tonight we're listening to bands that change their creative directory as a result of being with or without key personnel. That's the Saints and Know Your Product from the Eternally Yours album. They're formed in Brisbane, Queensland, early 70s really, and founded by singer-songwriter Chris Bailey, drummer Ivor Hay, and guitarist-songwriter Ed Cooper, the three mainstays of that early Saints era. Now, they originally employed that really fast tempo, raucous kind of buzzsaw guitar sound, which helped initiate a bit of a punk rock sound in Australia, but also to have them regarded as one of the very first punk rock bands in the world. Well, after their third album, Prehistoric Sounds, in 1978, Ed Cooper clashed with Bailey over the band's musical direction and left, subsequently forming his own post-punk group called The Laughing Clowns, which were an amazing band. Look, Ivor Hay left as well. I think Chris Bailey had a lot of trouble working with people in those years. But Chris Bailey became the sole mainstay of the group and continued under the Saints moniker, with, I guess you could call it a rotating lineup of musicians in the ensuing decades. And that gutsy Saints sound, unfortunately, was lost forever.
To find the shore. the light that was in your eyes, it doesn't shine there anymore. So wait until tomorrow, and then we'll see. You know I don't know about tomorrow. Oh my God.
That's the sound of the Psychedelic Furs. A track called Sister Europe, taken off their self-titled debut from 1980. And Psych Furs, formed in the late 70s, led by vocalist Richard Butler with that unique vocal sound, and his brother Tim Butler on bass. And one of the many acts spawned from that British post-punk scene, and their music did go through several phases from that initially fairly austere art rock sound to later touching on some new wave and hard rock. But for me, a significant moment occurred in 1982 when they lost their saxophone player, a guy called Duncan Kilburn. May well be a minor change, losing a saxophone player, but they never replaced their saxophone player, and I think that sax sound was lost forever and definitely a missing ingredient from that original Psych Furs sound.
Yeah. standing on ice when I say that I don't hear planes. And I scream at the fools wanna jump my train. And
Joy Division emerged out of the Manchester area in the mid to late 70s. Consisted of lyricist and vocalist Ian Curtis, keyboardist Bernard Sumner, bassist Peter Hook and drummer Stephen Morris, and really established themselves as the vanguard of emerging post-punk sound, producing two extremely influential albums and a handful of adored singles, including Love Will Tear Us Apart and that one, Transmission. The band's frontman died of suicide in 1980 on the eve of greatness, really, leaving the band to pick up the pieces. And I guess there's one of the most celebrated and dramatic stories of a band that what transformed itself as a result of losing a member of the band, an influential member at that, has to be the Joy Division transformation into New Order. Yes, the remaining members of that group regrouped, created New Order, and they were successful throughout the next decade, blending post-punk with electronic and dance music influences. I leave you tonight with probably one of their most well-known dance numbers. Establish themselves on the dance floor with this one, Blue Monday. For more alternative 80s sounds, please join me next Tuesday night from 6 o'clock.